Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson from Westminster Shorter Catechism, Questions and Answers 50 and 51. What is required in the Second Commandment? The Second Commandment requireth the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath appointed in His Word. Question and answer 51. What is forbidden in the Second Commandment? The Second Commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images or in any other way not appointed in His Word. The Second Commandment, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, has to do with religious worship. And the Westminster Divines and the Westminster Shorter Catechism zero in on worship that is carried on in a corporate nature on the day of worship in the Old Testament, the seventh day, and in the New Testament, the first day of the week. And so, primarily, this commandment, according to the Westminster Divines, has to do with our gathering for worship in a public manner on the Lord's Day. This does not mean that the commandment does not have some application to our worship in our families, our worship in our prayer closets, and on other occasions. Of course, the commandment has applications in those areas. We are not to be idolaters. We are to worship the living and true God and to recognize the image He gives to us in Jesus Christ and bow down to Jesus Christ and worship Him. But we need to understand that in this case, it's the religious worship of the gathered community, which is being emphasized by the answers in the Shorter Catechism. I'll speak to that more in a moment, but for now, understand that this is the case. And the Catechism goes on to say that the Second Commandment requires the receiving, observing, and keeping pure and entire all such religious worship and ordinances as God hath appointed in His Word. We are to receive the worship that God appoints. We are to observe the worship that God appoints. We are to keep pure the worship that God appoints. And we are to keep pure and entire, that is, we are to do entirely the worship which God requires. And this is important for us to understand. It's easy for us to skip by and think to ourselves that we have been accomplishing the will of God when we skate over the commandment of God and think casually that we're not worshiping idols, we're reading the scriptures and going to church. But we ought to think more deeply about this so that we understand what God requires and keep what God requires pure and entire. For example, in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America, we sing only the Psalms in Scripture. Why is this the case? We believe, rightly, I think, that God requires us to sing the Psalms in Scripture. And this means singing the 150 Psalms that are given to us in the Old Testament. And we want to utilize the Psalms in this way. And the entire worship service ought to be characterized by that which God commands. For example, there are indications in the Word of God that an invocation is proper and a benediction is proper. And so we ought to begin our worship services invoking the presence of God and close our worship services by using a benediction. And of course, at the beginning of the worship service, there's also the indication in the Word of God that a call to worship is utilized. And so we utilize a call to worship in our worship services. And so it goes. We are to keep pure and entire the religious worship that God commands in His Word. This involves the ordinances, as the Catechism puts it, the ordinances appointed by God. Listen to what the Catechism says in question and answer 88. Listen carefully now. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicateth to us the benefits of redemption? The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicateth to us His redemption, or the benefits of redemption, are His ordinances. How does Christ communicate to us the benefits of redemption? What means does He use? He utilizes His ordinances. And what are these ordinances? The Catechism stipulates them. Especially, you see, there are others outside of these three which the Catechism gives us, but these three are given to us as examples. His ordinance, especially the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. These are ordinances that are utilized in religious worship, and particularly in the public worship of our God. And these ordinances, the Word, the sacraments, and prayer, are designed not for private use, but in this case are designed for public use. The proclamation of the Word, the reading of the Word, and the proclamation of the Word in the public worship service. The administration of the sacraments of the Lord's Supper and baptism in the public worship of God, and the use of prayer in the public worship of God. Of course, privately we may read the Word of God, and privately we may pray. The Catechism is not enjoining us not to do these things. Of course, this would not be the case. But, as I say, the Catechism is zeroing in on the public and corporate worship of God with the use of the term ordinances. And it's ordinances as have been appointed in His Word. And so question and answer 51 reads, I'll give you just the answer, the second commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images. We've already spoken about this in expounding the words of Scripture given to us in answer 49. Now, the Catechism says, the second commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images, so far so good, or any other way not appointed in His Word. This is about the closest statement in the Westminster Standards of what we call the regulative principle of worship. The regulative principle of worship is simply this. Whatever is not commanded in Scripture is forbidden. That is, in worship, whatever is not commanded in Scripture is forbidden. Listen to it again in the Catechism. The second commandment forbiddeth the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in His Word. So if it's not commanded, if it's not appointed in Scripture, in worship, for worship, then it's forbidden. The bulk of the church and the bulk of the evangelical church follows what we call the normative principle. The normative principle would be stated like this. Whatever is not explicitly forbidden in Scripture is permitted. So that if Scripture does not forbid our doing something in worship, then it's permitted. In other words, the example I like to use is this. I'm a pitcher on a baseball team, and I'm quite good at being a pitcher on a baseball team. This is a gift that God has given to me, and so I think that I ought to be able to use my gifts in worship, and so it would be proper and permissible for us to put a home plate in the front of the auditorium in the center and for me to pitch the baseball to someone over the home plate down the center aisle in worship of God and in acknowledging the good gifts that God has given me. This would be the normative principle of worship. Well, you say that's ridiculous. We wouldn't do something like that. Well, many things which we say are ridiculous tend to be incorporated into the worship of God. And the regulative principle says, whatever is not commanded in Scripture is forbidden. In other words, God outlines in the Bible that which is to be accomplished in His worship. And that is what we should do. We should not do less than that, and we should not do more than that. This is in keeping with the principles of the Word of God. And so, what does the second commandment give us? The second commandment gives us how we ought to worship the living God. The first commandment tells us who we are to worship. We are to serve Him alone. He is the great God of the Bible. And the second commandment tells us how we ought to worship Him. And so, you and I ought to study the Word of God and come to terms with the commands of the Word of God so that we properly do worship the great God of heaven. And why is this so important? Because God has appointed certain means He desires to use in ministering to us, in drawing us to Himself, and in healing the defects of our souls. And so we ought to pay attention to the specific means He desires to use and not incorporate into the worship of God means that we think God ought to use. No, let's use His means, and this is what the commandment is drawing us to. Thanks for listening.